Welcome to TalkErie.com's Joel Natale Show, Erie, Pennsylvania's daily podcast. Every day, we tackle the biggest issues that the Erie, PA region faces. Stay informed and involved as we advance the narrative of Erie. Now, here's Joel Natale.
We are 3 days away from Christmas, and Sarah Toggs, meteorologist with Erie News Now, is with us via Zoom. Sarah, thanks for coming on the show.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
You got it. All right. So, you know, this is your first time here. We're a family show. We like to find out origin stories. Tell us how you came up, how you got involved in being interested in meteorology and where you went to school and all that stuff.
Well, meteorology kind of was an accident, honestly. I grew up in Athens, Georgia, which is where the University of Georgia is located, and when I was a senior in high school, I had the opportunity to go to Georgia, to UGA for my senior year, take some classes there. And I happened to take weather and climate because it fit with my schedule. And I kind of went, and it wasn't chemistry was the other reason.
Yeah.
So I kind of just went with it from there and I kind of fell in love with it. And then I went to Georgia Tech. My dog is squeaking his bone because he wants to be included too.
Sure.
But I went to Georgia Tech in Atlanta for my undergrad and eventually graduate school. I got my master's degree there and I fell in love with earth and atmospheric sciences, and I found broadcast meteorology when I was interning at CNN with their weather department. So I got to kind of get an intro to the business from some of the greats, both director, producer, on air wise. They got everybody there.
Right.
And got to learn a lot that way. And now I'm here. This is where my grandparents went to college, which I didn't really know. I didn't know too much about Erie before I came here, but I'm very happy to be here. I'm now 1 year into my stay here in Erie. I actually hit the 1 year anniversary last week. And I'm also working on my second master's degree right now in ocean sciences, or marine sciences, I should say.
You want to be a marine biologist, just like George Costanza, right?
We'll see. I'm getting a second degree, and we'll see where it takes me.
Okay, so as a kid growing up in Georgia, and you maybe were watching Good Morning America or the Today Show, and you see, oh, lake effect snow in a place like Erie or Buffalo or so on. Did that ring any bells, like, you know, as far as like, wow, that's a lot of snow?
You know, I heard stories about it very vaguely, but it wasn't until I got to college and was taking my mesoscale meteorology class. So that's kind of talking about the smaller scale processes that I learned about it more in depth. And I did a project on it in my class. And this was by the time I was in grad school. So this was one of my first graduate level courses. And I was learning about lake effect snow. And I was like, well, that sounds absurd. I'm glad I'm never going to have to go through that.
That's amazing. Well,
and,
so,
you know,
yeah, but here you are. And so my big question, my first big question is, why do you think that we haven't seen much of the lake effect? Again, yeah, people that grew up in Erie, they're used to that. November, December, cold winds come out, you know, those Arctic clippers that go over our warm lake and dump a ton of snow on. But we haven't seen any Arctic clippers just yet.
Well, part of it, from my understanding, from what we've been watching in the weather department, is the fact that we actually have, it's a La Nina year, which means out in the Pacific Ocean, the waters are abnormally, I always get it mixed up if it's warm or cold, but I think they're abnormally warm. And that changes the entire weather pattern pretty much of North America. So our region is uniquely positioned in this spot where in the winter, we're generally north of what is called the jet stream. And that's a upper level atmosphere, fast moving river of air. And it commonly separates the really cold air to the north from the really warm air to the south. And what the La Nina years do is they kind of start to cause that to wave, and it kind of starts to ripple a bit more. So we end up on the southern side of it. So we're not getting those same cold bursts of air that we could be getting. And that's the same reason that temperatures thus far this December have been above average. We've had, from my understanding, if I recall correctly, we had one record-breaking day and we've had two record tie days. So a day we hit 67, that broke a record. And then 2 days that we got 65 and 64, those were our two record ties.
Well, and again, because we're breaking records necessarily means that we've had other warm Decembers. But do you see any macro trends going on? Again, you've been here a year, but as you look at the climate in general, is Erie becoming warmer, do you think?
I think in a long-term scale, most of our climate sensors worldwide are reporting a warming trend. That's just kind of, that's one of the things that's like, we can see the data, that it's warming on in general. From what I've looked at every year in for Erie as well, it's kind of a warming trend we're seeing. And that has very different impacts on winter, especially for the Great Lakes and for lake effect snow, because the kind of common idea is, all right, if it's colder, we get more snow. Like, that's definitely how it works with Erie versus Georgia, where I'm from, where the most I've ever seen snow-wise before moving here was 2 inches. Wow. But what happens is it almost is better for snow. Like, we get less snow if it's colder because the lake freezes faster, right, and it shuts off the lake effect snow. So we get less of that. Whereas since it's getting kind of warmer, we get these more wildly varying years, because some years we don't get too many lake effect events at all because we just don't get that cold burst of air. And then some years we have one major event and that's enough to tip the scales to be over average, which is kind of what we saw in 2017.
Right. Yeah, I was going to say 2017 is kind of the benchmark as far as getting dumped on. Of course, that Christmas Day snowfall, depending on who you listen to, it could have been 4 feet, could have been 5 feet or 4.5 feet. But then it like melted, and literally within about 2 or 3 weeks, there was no remnants of that snow. And but then you had, I don't know what year it was, when we had the polar vortex, where it was like we were just totally captured by the cold. And so, you know, are those more La Niño years when we would have that super cold air, or is that a whole different phenomenon when the polar vortex comes down and freezes us?
So it can definitely have an impact, because the polar vortex is kind of a term that got popularized recently, but it's actually been around for a very long time. It has to do with the jet streams, just like I was talking about. So the polar vortex is kind of a smaller pocket of really cold air, but very similarly to how the jet stream in the continental United States kind of gets wavy sometimes. We see the cold bursts of air moving further south. We can get colder Arctic air. So kind of it's a term that the media has kind of sensationalized a little bit, especially some of the national markets, because it's such an interesting term and people hear polar vortex and they panic a little bit because it sounds terrifying. But it's actually something that's a pretty natural process that the Earth goes through when we have these just kind of changes in the upper atmospheric patterns.
Sarah Tongs is our guest here on the show. All right, so what are you seeing as far as like a long-term winter forecast? Is this going to be a snowy yet maybe warmer year for Erie and the area?
So this year we have the official Climate Prediction Center's forecast is warmer and wetter. Whether or not that means snow or not is very hard to forecast, because snow is a very short-term type event. So we could have more precipitation, but if it's warmer, some of it could be rain. Or if it's warmer that the lake doesn't freeze, it could be snow. So it's very hard to forecast a long-term snow totals as to whether or not it's going to be above average or not. But what we are seeing is that it's going to be warmer and it's going to be wetter. So that means, you know, more precipitation. And then one of the other things that's significant is the warmer pattern, because you can see that already we've had some not major snow events in Erie thus far this year, but we have had a couple periods where we got a couple inches, but then the periods between those snows are warmer, so it doesn't stick around as much. So we kind of get less snow accumulating on the grounds over time because it's melting in between the snow.
Yeah, so and that would even happen when we have a lot of inches too. I mean, like when we when we win the snow globe, for the year, generally a lot of times you won't see anything on the ground. And again, I you know, folks like, that are my age, we remember the 70s, which was like this extended period of time where the winters were very cold and we got a lot of snow. And they remember the piles of snow on places like the Erie Central Mall and, you know, climbing over snowbanks just to get on your school bus and so on. We haven't had snow like that in a long time. Now, that might mean that we're taking better care of our roads. You know, we have better, you know, snowmelt kinds of things, but yeah, I'm sure you get all these stories, you know, about Erie and winter. Can you predict whether or not like the lake will freeze? I mean, are we going to hit normals, let's say, for January and February as far as temps go?
Temps probably not. We're probably going to stay above average from what we're seeing right now, but the lake probably will at least partially freeze, because the temperatures are going to get closer to that range, especially January. January is on average the coldest month of the year, if I'm not mistaken. And so that's when we're probably going to see most of that freezing happen. And that's probably going to happen to an extent. But one of the things we saw last year was the entire lake didn't freeze over, which in cold years, it does that. But this year it didn't. Lake Erie is the shallowest of the Great Lakes, so it freezes a lot faster, but we still had a lot of instability on the ice last year. We were constantly tracking in the weather department how thick the ice was. So even when the entire lake had at least a thin layer of ice on it, it was wildly different depths. Mm-hmm. So some spots were very deep, some spots were very thin. And then once it started to kind of melt, we saw several instances of people getting stuck on floating pieces of ice. So, yeah, I don't recommend that. Make sure you're checking to make sure the ice is stable before you go out on it for ice fishing. But the lake is probably going to freeze at some point. And I know the folks over at Presque Isle and the Tom Ridge Environmental Center are waiting for that, because that helps them out with the beaches a lot. Because we saw with that wind storm a couple weeks ago, a lot of the sand of the beaches wound up on the roads and wound up not on the beaches. And if we get more of those storm systems, but the ice dunes aren't there, that's going to keep happening. We're going to keep seeing all that sand just get pushed around, moved all over the place. But the ice dunes hold it in place. It actually acts as a sort of barrier for the beaches. So the lake, all that's to say, the lake will eventually freeze, at least partially. It will probably not freeze as much as it has in past years, because we're on that kind of warmer trend for the winter. But we are going to see some ice. So if you're an ice fisher, it will come.
Sarah, is there any correlation between warmer winter, warmer summer, or does that not have any connection at all?
It can. It really depends, because there's so many different things that go into what temperatures we're going to see for a season, that obviously there's first of all the fact that summer is warmer than winter. That's kind of, you know, a given in the United States. But there are so many different processes that can change things. So like there's sort of El Nino and La Nina is the big one. That's what a lot of people know. That's also known as El Nino Southern Oscillation, which is currently in the La Nina phase. But there's a lot of other little things like that can change the temperatures. So between now and the summer, we could be in a different weather pattern. We could be in a different climate pattern. It could be colder than normal, but on average, over the past several years, we have been on a warming trend. So without considering any of the atmospheric processes that could change things, it's most likely to be warmer, just because that's what the planet is doing.
Another question that came into the station when we were talking about this was, it feels like that our springs are longer and our summers are like everything is kind of shifting later. So like our Junes are not as hot as we remember, but our Septembers are more hot than we remember. Are you seeing anything like that? Or is there any anecdotal evidence for the Northern Hemisphere that's going on?
I don't think I've seen any patterns of that. Sometimes that can just have to do with the different ways that the planet is retaining heat. Because there's, like I said, so many different things that kind of go into what's warm when. I haven't seen any large scale trends, but as far as I know, there could be some. I just haven't seen any.
That, yeah, I mean, it just feels like September is a lot more summery than we remember. And that June just, I mean, every once in a while you'll get a 90 in June, but those are very rare, it seems. Anyway, all right, so here's the big, big question that everybody's asking. Are we going to have a white Christmas in Erie County?
Well, I'm kind of starting to resent this question a little bit because I seem to disappoint everyone whenever I answer it. Yeah. So it's kind of like a, it's like people are setting me up for failure.
It's
here
a trap, like they say in Star Wars. It's a trap.
I'm kind of saying that we wasted all our white Christmas last year when we had lake effect. Because this year we're actually looking at rain for most of Christmas, which is the pattern that we're seeing. We actually have some snow showers today and then tomorrow, Thursday evening. But Friday, we're going to see temperatures getting into the 40s above normal, not record-breaking, but just above normal enough that when some rain comes through, it's not going to be snow. We're going to see actual rain. So even if we accumulate snow over the next 2 days, it's going to kind of be washed away. And we're not looking at a white Christmas, unfortunately.
And I'm hearing that some of our neighbors to the south, you know, in the Carolinas and Tennessee, they could barbecue for Christmas this year. It's supposed to be really warm, huh?
Yeah, you know, my parents are down in Georgia, and one of my favorite games to play with my mom this time of year is I'll call her and I'll say, well, it's snowing again. And she always freaks out because she lives in Georgia. I think it's in the 60s right now there. And she thinks it's very cold. And that's the game she likes to play with me. She's like, it's so cold here. And I say, how cold is it? She goes, it's 65 degrees.
That's amazing.
Not that cold.
Oh my gosh. So like you're a diehard Bulldog fan, I'm assuming.
Maybe not a diehard Bulldogs fan. Cause like I said, I went to
Georgia Tech. That's right.
And that's the rival school.
What mascot is Georgia Tech? I forget.
It's the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets.
The Yellow Jackets. Okay. So
yes,
of course
our mascot is Buzz.
Buzz the Yellow Jacket. Yeah, of course you'd be more for Tech. Is that always a big rivalry, a big game in the fall?
For Georgia Tech, yes. For Georgia, not as much. Georgia is Georgia Tech's biggest rival. Georgia Tech is maybe Georgia's like fourth biggest rival or so. They've got kind of
next
bigger
to Alabama,
fish to fry.
Yeah, Alabama's the big game.
Bama, FSU, Clemson. They got other things on their mind.
Gotcha.
But you know, I love UGA. I went there. My mom and my brother both have undergrad degrees there. My mom has her master's there. My dad did part of a master's there, so I did part of my undergrad. I kind of have a healthy respect for UGA. I love UGA, and that helps me out because I'm never disappointed when they beat Georgia Tech, because that happens a lot.
Right.
But that way I'm not as sad about it.
That's awesome. Yeah. I mean, Penn State Pitt is usually a pretty big grudge match up here, but it doesn't rise to the level of like an Ohio State Michigan kind of game or something like that.
Yeah. What? Or the fact that Georgia Tech's fight songs, both of them call out UGA by name.
Oh, is that right? Yes. That is a grudge match. Oh my gosh.
UGA is good, and they swap in whatever their weekly match is to their fight song, so it's wide ranging. But we'll be playing anybody. We play Pitt, and we're singing about Georgia.
That's funny. Hey, one last big question for weather here. You know, tracking weather for Erie. Would you say that it is more difficult because of the lake effect on all different kinds of things? You know, obviously it's cooler by the lake versus down south in the summer, and you know, and sometimes vice versa. It's warmer because of the lake keeps the city warm and the suburbs warm. But our forecasting is it tougher than, let's say, forecasting in Savannah or Athens or into the interior of the U.S.
So something that John Stalen likes to say, and I hope I'm getting this right, is forecasters in the Great Lakes are meteorologists. Everyone else is comedians. I think that's what he says. And he said that publicly before. I'm not like outing him for saying something, but Because especially lake effect snow, it is so difficult to forecast correctly because the wind changes 1 degree and it's the snow falls somewhere completely different.
Yeah.
Whereas with I'm trying to think of a thunderstorm system that might pass through Georgia, you can track it. You can track where the exact thunderstorms and the strongest tornadoes are, which we get those too. We don't get as many of them.
Right.
But you can kind of get the general trajectory a lot better. And tornadoes are a lot shorter distance, but lake effect snow, you know, it's going to happen. You just don't really know where.
That's funny. Dylan Dreyer, who, you know, was sitting in your chair about 10 years ago, right? You know, she came to Erie as a storm tracker a couple of years back, and she thought she was going to be in the middle of 4 feet. And like you said, it turned a couple degrees. Buffalo got all the snow. We were high and dry, and she was there on the dock just waving with really nothing to show for it, you know. And so that just happens sometimes. And sometimes it just turns a little bit our way, and maybe, you know, Northeast and Wattsburg get totally dumped on, you know. Mm-hmm. It's so amazing how it works. Well, Sarah, you've been so generous with your time. I'm going to let you back to your duties here. We want to wish you a Merry Christmas, and thanks so much for checking in with us here and giving us the climatological, forecast for the winter here. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
You've been listening to The Joel Natale Show, Erie, Pennsylvania's daily podcast from TalkErie.com. Subscribe to our show on your favorite podcatcher and get involved by emailing joel@talkerie.com.